Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 261, recorded on July 3rd, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. And, wow, we took so long to get started. I'm already halfway through my beer.
Good. It'll be a good show.
We can live in hope.
Yeah, we were waiting for Adam.
Sorry.
He's pretending he was waiting for the call.
But with really, Skype closed.
Really, he was stalling for time. That's Adam Christensen of the MacCast.
Hey, you got Jeff and I on our day off, so.
Yeah,
you did.
So this is, you have observed July 4th today?
Yes, we observed July 4th today.
Huh, cool. Like a lot of people, day off.
Yep.
As you were just pointing out.
Yeah. Well, of course, JPL is off. It's a government, mostly government facility. Sort of Caltech too, but it kind of works both ways. Schools.
Caltech too. That's a sequel to Caltech.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Caltech 2, Talladega Nights.
You got
awesome.
It. Yeah, so iOS 8.4 and iTunes 12.2 has a new feature that has to do with music, right?
Have we not talked about this?
Well, what was gonna happen,
right? The day before. When did we do the last show?
It was literally the day before it dropped.
Okay, that's why. That's why I'm so confused right now.
Yeah. So,
like, how did we not talk about all this already?
The Apple Music is on
bumpin',
and available bumpin'. And bumping. You got Beats One, new music app, and boy, I have mixed feelings.
Have you been listening to Beats One?
Yeah.
A lot. I've been listening to it a lot.
I've been enjoying it.
Yeah, overall, I'm enjoying it. And when I don't, it's not because I'm not liking the service overall. It's just, you know, there'd be windows where I'm like, yeah, I'm not digging the music they're playing right now.
Well, what's really interesting is how eclectic it is. Like,
I'm loving that.
Like, and I love that part of it. It's like they can just play whatever the heck they want. And so you'll have like some total old school thing right next to, you know, a latest hit, followed by some electronica, followed by, you know, it's just like all over the board. And I actually kind of like it.
Yeah, I'm liking that. It's great. It's not just, at least when I've been listening, it's not just homogenized, bland, the same songs that everyone else is playing kind of stuff.
Yeah, there is kind of a couple ones that are new tracks that have come out recently that are a little bit repetitive if you listen a lot.
Yeah, heavy rotation.
Every hour, yeah, they got a couple that are in heavy rotation where you can tell they're obviously trying to promote, you know, some of the newer stuff that's coming out from specific artists. But
yeah,
that's to be expected. It is radio. But even like the talking stuff isn't even bothering me.
No, not at all.
They did this cool thing this afternoon where they had all three DJs going. So normally you have the DJ in, you know, you have Zane in LA and then who's the person in New York and then the woman in the UK, and they rotate between them throughout the course of the day. So at certain times you'll have one of those DJs. And then this afternoon they did this thing where they were all on all at the same time for like an hour.
Really, oh, I should have been listening.
That sounds cool. Yeah.
It was really cool. They were totally playing off each other back and forth. And they were like explaining how they were totally worried about the technology, you know, like working just like we do with Skype and stuff like that. So it was kind of funny to listen to, like, oh yeah, this is actually working. We tried this and we've had so many problems and we weren't sure, and now it's working and it works great. And
cool.
Yeah. So I'm digging it. I'm digging the Beats One.
Yeah. So you've got the Beats One and you've also got, I mean, the primary stuff. So you got the fact that it is a like a Spotify-esque service. You can look up any song and just hit play an album, what have you, and just and just go. It's the streaming service, but it also has the curated playlists.
Mm-hmm. Those are really nice.
So yeah, they've been great for me.
Now by curated playlists, I guess they're, and it may be semantic, but there's the For You, and then there are the actual playlists where you can like see various DJs or whomever, playlists created by them. Right. So like you can go to the activities playlist and, you know, click on barbecuing and click on pop summer jams, which sounds like what I want to do right now instead of this podcast, but
yeah, and
this
those
is
are
how
all,
dedicated we are.
But those are still all human curated. Cause you notice if you, it'll say, what like genre or what group within Apple Music sort of put that list together.
Yeah.
Which I find really helpful because I'll notice, you know, like, oh, I don't really want a classic rock playlist right now. I'm more in the mood for pop or electronica or, you know, or I don't want to do hip hop. I'm not a huge hip hop fan. So you can kind of avoid the ones that probably aren't going to be up your alley. Yeah, so those are more just the straight playlists, like you're saying, I think, Michael, where they're not tailored to you. The ones in the new section that are just the activities.
Yeah, it's weird that it's called
new. Apple Editor playlists.
Why is it called new? That just seems so misleading. There's a lot
about
this. Well,
those would be the new, I'm assuming they're new playlists within those categories, so those probably are getting updated all the time.
That's my assumption.
And so when they add in new ones, and then those get thrown into the pool of stuff that might be recommended for you. Because some of those same playlists I noticed for me are showing up from time to time in the For You section. But, you know, they're more tailored to my, they're picking out the ones that are tailored to my taste. So unlike having to go in and look at the playlist and go, oh, that's a hip hop playlist, I don't want that. In my For You section, I have not seen a single hip hop playlist because I haven't sort of liked or favorited. And when I did the setup, you know, I had literally popped that bubble instead of, you know, leaving it in. So I'm not getting hip hop stuff in my For You section at all, which is how it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like how it feels like Apple has done a lot to make sure that the music that we're not interested in isn't showing up like that. Whereas before, the playlists that I would get from iTunes Radio, it almost seemed like someone was randomly selecting music and it didn't go together at all.
Even on Spotify, you know, I had been using Spotify and honestly, you know, I would go through and like stuff or, you know, say I like this and not this. It still was haphazard. Like the recommendations on there were never very good for me. And I don't know, maybe I just didn't use the service long enough.
I eventually stopped using Spotify completely.
Well, I used it to, you know, sort of build my own stuff and that's fine. But now that that's in Apple Music, I mean, the catalog is really deep in Apple Music. I was sitting down last night with my daughter and I was just going through stuff because I haven't exposed her to a lot of the music that I grew up with and things like that. And so we were going through and playing stuff and I wasn't even playing the whole song. We just play a little bit of it and it's like, oh, have you heard this? Have you heard that? And we were just literally going through the search and everything that I searched for came up. No problem.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is one thing that I noticed. I've always had an issue with Spotify and RDO. I was an RDO person, but they both suffered from the same issue of the UI being so terrible for quickly finding something. So not only is the search, it's right up in the top right, which is awesome. And you can search Apple Music or just your music and it actually shows you trending searches, which is cool. You can also just use Siri. I think that is just such an incredible feature of Apple Music.
I haven't tried that. Like, you can say something like, hey, Siri, play me top hits from 1989, right?
Yeah, I think you can do stuff like that. I've only tried it with some artists and things, but it seems like she's very accommodating for music-based requests that would take advantage of Apple Music. It's
or
really
like,
cool.
Hey, Siri, I'm in the mood for some classical music.
Yes.
Yeah, I would imagine so. It seems pretty flexible.
Can I give you a playlist tip before we move too far away from playlists? Something that I just learned today.
Yeah,
yes, please.
So if you go into the For You section and you see a playlist in there that you don't like, that you're like, that's not for me, you can press and hold on the playlist and you'll get a pop-up, and there's a option says, I don't like this suggestion.
Cool.
Yeah. Now, so you can say, I don't like the suggestion, and then it will further tailor your For You section.
Interesting. I wonder, so does that...
That's cool.
Is that to, I guess it would indicate that you aren't interested in it because you don't like it, right?
Because you don't like that playlist. Yeah, if that playlist suggestion is not relevant to your music tastes because it's supposed to be for you, then you can kind of say, hey, no, that wasn't right. And I even tried that because there was a playlist that came up and I was like, I don't know if I would like this. So I listened to two or three tracks off of it. And I'm like, no, I really don't like this one. And so I did that to it. And I think that was in an iMore article, just to give credit where credit is due. They pointed out some shortcuts or some tips for things that you might not discover on your own.
Nice.
Like how to get to the album listing of the currently playing track. Do you know how to do that?
I would imagine.
No, Adam. How do I do that? Please tell me.
Yes, please tell us. Sorry.
No, I'm curious because I didn't discover it, so I had to read about it. So, like, you know how in the Now Playing you've got the track playing there, right? So you tap on that, or in the Mini Player. I'm sorry, the Mini Player. You tap on the song, and then it brings up the Now Playing screen, right? And then if you tap the little more dot 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 thing, right?
In the lower
right.
So you get
to add to my music and show in iTunes. After that, tap the album again, the thing that's up at the top, and that will take you to the albums screen and show you all the tracks for that album. If it is an album, it doesn't always work, but
right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So if you want to see additional, you know, tracks from that album that of the track that's currently playing, that works. It doesn't work, I think, sometimes for singles and things like that. But if it is actually tied to an album, you can find it that way.
That's really cool.
Except it's really hidden. I wish it wasn't.
There are so many things in Apple Music that I feel are just way too hidden. There's a lot of it that requires a lot of discovery. I feel like some things are too small. Maybe there are too many buttons.
There's a lot of repetitive stuff too,
repetitive
where it's
stuff.
Like, you do the same thing like three ways. It's like, no.
Yeah. There. And as far as the For You, I got suggestions basically to play music that I already have.
Well, yeah.
And I'm thinking like, no, and by that I mean everything was stuff I already had, and I was expecting it to tell me something that I hadn't already listened to, because like I thought the point was for me to discover new music.
Well, that's part of the point, I think.
But
yeah, that's
part of the point is also for it to play stuff that is for you that you would like to listen to.
Yeah, but I didn't get any sort of like discovery stuff, and I was hoping
was
for
it
some discovery.
Stuff that maybe you hadn't listened to in a while?
Well, ultimately the end of that story is I just pulled down to refresh, and it just added a buttload more suggestions.
Oh, there's another fun tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another cool tip.
Yeah. So
took me a couple days to figure that out too. I don't know why I didn't think about trying it, but yeah, if you pull down, it will refresh the now you for you section. Do you claim your Apple Music nickname?
It wouldn't let me.
Really?
Is yours already taken?
Yeah, Michael Johnston was taken immediately. I think I tried it even like, maybe it was during the iOS 9 beta. I was in there and it wouldn't let me.
No one has took mine. I got it.
I took yours.
My assumption is no one wanted mine.
I took Adam Christensen because I couldn't have mine, so I took Adam Christensen.
That's good. I have Maccast.
That accounts for why I couldn't get Adam Christensen.
Yeah.
But people should do that too. So, you know, click the little profile icon, click on your name, and make sure you grab your Apple Music nickname before it's gone.
Yeah, I don't understand. If anybody out there took my name, give it back.
Somebody must be on the like early beta test team. It must be somebody inside Apple. There must be Michael Johnston.
That's annoying.
It's someone that wants to be you, Michael.
No, they don't.
But you don't know that.
Yeah, I guess
and,
I don't.
And who are we to judge?
I guess that's true.
Well, when you vanity search, who comes up?
I don't know, but I was trying to type my password to upload my photo, and for some reason I just started typing your name.
Oh, you know who it is? It's Jeff's legislator.
Oh. Yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The first search result is Michael Johnston, Colorado legislator.
Yeah, and I've gotten some tweets for that guy.
Yeah, I'm assuming that there are some people that don't like his style.
Well, I think that's the case for any politician.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, so the first impressions from media, including us, were that, I agree with the fact that having the streaming features and the suggested music features, all of that stuff, in the music app, Apple style, is really awesome.
That's the thing. To me, the killer feature is the integration. The yes. fact that yes. there is no, like, the stuff that's in Apple Music and then that I add to my own library is just in my library, and it's there with the stuff that I ripped and the stuff that I bought, and it doesn't really matter. You don't really see a difference. You know, on iOS, I don't think you could even tell the difference. On the Mac, in iTunes, you'd have to actually turn on the iCloud status column that shows whether it's Apple Music or not. But otherwise, I mean, it's just sitting there like you own it. And I like that. I like that there's no distinction. It's not separated. It's just, hey, I want this in my collection. Boom, it's in my collection. And it's all in one place. That was the problem with Spotify, is I got to open the Spotify app if I want to listen to that. With Apple Music, I can be listening to Beats 1 and then go, no, I want to go listen to my own playlist. No, I want to go listen to a playlist off Apple Music. And it's all in one place. And I just pop back and forth throughout the day and go wherever I want.
That really is nice.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the killer feature, you know, and that's where Apple's going to have this huge leg up, is because if you discover something on Apple Music and you're like, hey, I want to buy that. Well, guess what? You buy it. Now it's just in your own collection, but it's in there with all the other Apple Music.
And it's just this transparent blend.
Yeah. And that is really nice. I think that for the most part, that is a great situation. Although again, it does lend itself, because it is so much, it lends itself to being a bit overwhelming. In certain ways, but so I think there's a steeper learning curve than what you would probably be used to with an Apple piece of software. Although I don't know, these days it's just becoming more and more.
But with the different sections, I mean, it still is separated.
It is,
you know what I mean? Like it's only mingled when you add something from Apple Music to your music. So when you go into My Music, you know, it's mixed in there. But outside of that, you know that For You is Apple Music. You know that the new category is Apple Music. You know that Radio and Connect, those four sections encompass Apple Music, and they're all separated.
Yeah,
in their own little area.
You only know that New is curated playlists because you clicked on it and you poked around and you realized that New has nothing to do with it.
But it's not just curated playlists. It's hot tracks. It's new music. It's the top songs. You know, it's the recent releases.
Well, then they should have come up with a totally nonsensical name, because it doesn't seem like there's a good name to describe what that is.
Okay, here's one of the biggest problems I'm seeing with Apple Music right here. And it's that the interface is really confusing for a lot of people, and a lot of the terminology that they're using for stuff isn't making sense to people.
It's too vague.
It didn't confuse me.
Well, you're smarter than us.
Another nice thing about the new section is, you see at the top, you can sort by genre. So yeah. If you want to filter that down.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I don't know. To me, the new is all the new stuff.
Yeah. And
it's
your connection's getting bad, by the way.
My connection's getting bad?
Keeps crapping out.
Huh.
I don't know. Is that you seen that, Jeff, too?
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe it's because I opened up Apple Music on... I opened up iTunes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm getting a bunch of packet loss and receive and all that sort of stuff.
Shut it down.
Quit screwing around. I'm trying to do a podcast here.
Yeah. Adam, what are you thinking? Trying to look at the stuff so that you can know what you're talking about.
You should have a different network for that. But yeah, I mean, overall, I would say poke around with it before you hop in the car.
Yeah, you want to be familiar with the interface before you start trying to do stuff or play music while you're doing something else.
Yeah. And I guess the biggest tip is, well, yeah, so the dot, dot, dot is for all of the, wait, what? Hang on. What? Okay. So if you're on a song and you hit the little dot, 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 you have like start station, which is nice. You can click on the album, like you mentioned, add it to your music, add it to your playlists. But there's also a share song button. And I was about to say, oh, okay, the dot, dot, dot is like actions in the little box with the arrow is sharing stuff. But then I just realized, holy crap, that is blatantly duplicated. So the dot, dot, dot has share song and the little arrow box thing also has share song.
Yeah.
Good job, Apple. You, Johnny Ive, you're just fucking crushing it with your understanding of user experience. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That was rude.
we can say crushing it.
Yeah, we can. And then there's the little up next button, which used to be show me tracks and all that, but whatever. You'll get used to it. You'll just conform to your new dumb way of using things. Sorry.
Wow. Are you drinking bitter beer tonight?
I didn't intend for that to be a rant, but as I was looking at it, it got stupid. So I just discovered how dumb it was.
We'll just roll with it.
Yeah. Overall, though, I'm pretty happy with it. I think I'll enjoy it more and more as I go. There is no student pricing. I usually do $5 a month for RDO. So, but you know, that means I just, I cancel RDO.
Your streaming services just costs just doubled.
It did. But I mean, in many ways I am getting more out of it, right? So the UI, although it's not perfect, it's better. It works with Siri.
They didn't fix iTunes. That's the thing. It's iTunes.
Oh man, yeah.
How so? The iTunes store or the iTunes app?
No, just the iTunes app.
Oh, it
is. iTunes app is just a big bag of hurt.
Well, they did move. I mean, it's not directly related, but they did move the audiobooks section out of the music app into iBooks, which is nice. I enjoyed
this one bit of progress.
It's a baby step.
It's a baby,
and I'm
baby
glad
step
for that. However, Apple needs to take a few more really big steps.
They need to just nuke it and start over. Seriously. It's just, I mean, they've just nursed it along for way too long. I don't know why. What is the fear inside of Apple about this project? Just nobody wants to take it on.
Yeah, I don't understand
why.
Even
internally, I would guess that they understand that it needs to be done.
Well, what's the alternative? I mean, you start separating things, and then when you're syncing your phone or whatever to things, do we go back to the iSync app? I mean, how does that work?
How does it work on iOS? No, I mean, the music app is broken on iOS too.
No. I mean, I'm talking about when you're syncing your phone with, you know, movies, TV shows, podcasts, all that stuff.
Right.
So
podcast is separated, right?
Not on the Mac.
It works fine. I don't sync from the Mac anymore. Do you? Your podcast?
No, I don't sync from my Mac anymore.
No, with podcasts, no. But
so
a lot of other things
podcasts.
I do. Well, I also don't use their thing.
It should all be able to sync through the cloud, right, at this point?
But I don't want to sync with the cloud. And Apple clearly doesn't want people to just sync through the cloud. I mean, I think there's a very good use case still for being able to store your stuff locally. You have a crap ton of apps, you have backups,
so
you
music
have settings.
Syncs with music, movies, it syncs with movies.
Yeah, but so you have to go
books
to each
sync with
so
books.
You have to go to five different apps in order to set up your sync. I mean, where do you, what I'm saying is you need one spot
to sync. So make an iSync.
So,
A sinking system preference.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Drive up to Cupertino this weekend and tell them.
I don't know.
Now, I like the idea of an app or a preference for managing my sync settings. I mean, we already have that for other content that sync.
That may
Mail contact, you know, your contacts and your calendars and stuff like that are just in contacts and calendars, right? In the preferences or in accounts.
It may be better. Yeah. I think I could see that working. I don't know, they've been beta testing that.
But it's not even that all that content's in there. The problem again is the fact that you go in there and it's just confusing. There's like three different ways to do a lot of stuff and information's all over the place and it's just, it's not good.
Yeah, if they moved iTunes U into its own app, the podcast had its own app, you know.
And then you have a music and a video app.
Yep.
I mean, and odd, you know. And then like, radio, like, can we kill that now? Like, does that have to exist?
I think people still use that.
Some, but I mean, how many? Can that go into its own little app? And it's like, hey, if you need internet radio, here's the thing.
I think that having internet radio in the app, in iTunes, makes a ton of sense. That makes a ton of sense, especially if we're moving all the other stuff out.
But now I have internet radio and radio. What's the difference?
Well, you do have that situation. And there have been multiple times already throughout this process where I was like, I want to get to Beats 1 and I go to internet radio. Wait, that's not what I want. I have to go back three steps. I'm retarded.
All right, so they need to change the name of that.
No, again,
just it makes just, more
there's,
sense.
There's too much stuff in here. There's too many weird ways to do things. I don't know. It's just become bloated and confusing. And
I agree. But this isn't the Mac show. It's the iOS show.
I mean, if they can do this kind of decapitation to
the music app on the phone.
I was going to say to iMovie and to Final Cut. Why can't they do it to iTunes?
I think they're afraid.
I think that there are technical issues on the back end that's preventing this from happening.
I can't imagine that they're afraid, again, because look at what they did with Final Cut. I mean, that was not easy for them, and they took a lot of flack for all the decisions that they had to make there with going back to square one, but it got better, you know? And it's from people I talk to now, it's a much better application than it was before. And I feel the same way about iMovie.
Yeah, it's odd that it didn't happen this WWDC. Of all the releases, I think El Capitan is a perfect candidate for a nuke and pave of iTunes.
Yeah.
I would love to see it happen.
It just needs to be rethought because it still has its roots in, you know, what was built for the original iPod.
Yeah.
You know, and everything.
It's still at its core sound jam.
Yeah. Everything from that point forward has been bolted on. You know?
Do you think that's the issue, is that they're still trying to maintain compatibility with old iPods?
It's like a Russian spacecraft.
No, I think the problem is that they started with sound jam. Yeah, it's a Russian spacecraft. That's what it is. They started with sound jam, and then, and for people that don't know, Apple bought sound jam, and that's what became iTunes. And then they started bolting stuff on to the sound jam core as they started doing their own back-end stuff. And before they knew it, they had a system that they were just stuck with, and there's no easy way to transition out of what they've created.
Yeah.
And Apple and we are stuck with the monster iTunes.
Yeah, I know exactly what they're going through because I've worked long enough in the web. You encounter these legacy systems that have embedded themselves inside a company, and they're just nobody wants to undo that thing because they just know what a pain it's going to be. And it is. It's going to be super painful, but sometimes you just gotta do
it. It's going to hurt everyone. It's going to hurt Apple when they do this. It's going to hurt us, and it's going to hurt artists.
Yeah. So it may never
happen.
At
some point, it has to happen.
Or it's just going to implode itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it'll just implode.
It's like too much data, cannot compute.
It's going to be like the Y2K of iTunes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
You didn't mention Kinect.
Yeah, I was just getting there, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, so the, well, I guess Connect, it's where you go for looking at artists. I turned it off on my phone.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about the Connect part of things.
I think Connect has potential. Right now, yeah. It's kind of weak, but I think that's because there's just not much content there. But if artists are putting stuff in and they're seeing some value in doing that, then Connect has the possibility to be really valuable for artists. And cool for their fans. But right now, not so much.
Hey, I got a Connect post from Madonna. I thought she was all about the title. No?
It's yeah. Hard to be a part of the Hindenburg.
Yeah, but you know, going out, blaze of glory, something like that,
or
Ode to Humanity.
What I can't figure out is why the heck the Red Hot Chili Peppers keep showing up with this guy in a cast. I don't want it. I don't listen to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I have unfollowed them, and it just sticks there.
Connect seems kind of broken in terms of the follow and unfollow, and Apple did a really bad thing in auto-following you to like anybody that you had in your. In your music collection,
yeah,
which was really annoying.
Mm-hmm. But that's really the only issue I've had with it. It's kind of nice if you're bored and you want to poke around and like, oh, Dr. Dre is going to be doing his first show on Saturday. That's cool. I didn't know about that. And I'm getting like, you know, major laser updates and stuff from Snoop Dogg, which is nice. And so once I got the followed stuff figured out, it's pretty nice. Is this, a poster for
Beck. Well, I discovered the band, well, and I think they've been around for a while, but Magazine from a Moby post.
Oh, that's cool.
All right, yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah, in Connect, so.
But I guess the Connect system is clunky and difficult to use, at least from your...
On the back end for artists?
Yes, for artists.
Oh, see, that's going to kill it.
Yeah, right, if it's not easy for artists to use, yeah, it's already dead.
They say it's clunky. Although, for what it's worth, they were doing it through the iPhone interface, and there is an interface through GarageBand. So, I mean, I would think this
new GarageBand update that came out this week?
Yeah. I think that's through GarageBand. You'd think...
Oh, yeah. Apple Music Connect links into GarageBand. That's not what this thing is, though, is it?
Connect?
Yeah, why would I want to use GarageBand to put videos and other content into Connect?
Well,
yeah, I thought that was the Apple Music Connect backend for like getting your tracks into iTunes to sell. No?
That was my assumption too.
Well, see, now they have two different products called Connect. And that's what I thought Connect was, because I knew what Connect was, and I'm like, why did that show up on my phone? And then I realized it was the artist thing.
Yeah, because I think isn't Connect also what they call the thing that app developers use on the back end?
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, right.
That's why I was confused.
I think, you know, if you're talking back end, Connect, the Connect services on the back end are all about getting your stuff into Apple's various stores. Connecting in Apple Music is this artist thing. I don't know if you go through the same backend. I imagine it probably is the same backend. And there's different parts of it. And the part that they add in GarageBand is just the, you know, hey, I want to sell this track on iTunes part. Because that would make sense for GarageBand. Yeah. I can't imagine you're going to open up GarageBand to like, do a social media post on iTunes.
I think it's just for moving your music into Connect. Because otherwise, the way that this person portrayed it was that you have to have music in your, on your phone in order to push it through to Connect.
Sure.
And in his case, it was an unreleased track. So he had to sync an unreleased track to his phone and then do it.
Was this, not with Whiskers?
Airplane Mode.
No, that's the band, right? Yeah. Who's in that band?
I don't know.
Oh, some reason. Oh,
yeah, Whiskers.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think Whiskers.
Yeah, not following him, so I should see. So he wanted to get put up an unreleased track for people to listen to, so he had to get it into Connect first, which you can do through GarageBand now, I guess. But I mean, that only makes sense. It's like you got to get it onto Apple servers before you can post about it.
Yeah,
yeah, and that does make sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
iOS 8.4 removes home sharing for music, although it seems like they still have it for videos for the time being, which is kind of a bummer why they would remove it. I mean, I get why if you're using Apple Music why you wouldn't want it. But if you just want to, you know, stream music from your computer to your phone or to your iPad, maybe they're just not, maybe people weren't using it anymore.
I don't know, but it bums me out that it's gone, because this is something that I was actually using. That's why it's gone. Apple did it to spite me.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they've accounted for the absence with extra clutter.
With extra what?
Extra clutter.
Yeah, that's how nature balances things out.
So this is the home sharing thing, right?
Yep.
You know, this is all about the streaming royalties, is what it is.
Oh yeah, of course it is. I mean, yeah, that's absolutely what
I mean, that's
it is.
my assumption, because if I grab a track and I add it to my music, which I can, right, and then my wife listens to it through my home share rather than streaming it directly from Apple Music, the rights holder doesn't get their 0.6 cents for that stream.
Yeah, but if she's streaming it to her phone, or was she streaming it to her
to another Mac, which you can still do. But I mean, that's going to get shut down too, I would imagine.
Well, I mean, they put out an update to iTunes. Why would they shut it down now? It was the same update. Why would they remove it from iOS?
I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. Why else would they turn it off?
Well, maybe. But home sharing, well,
unless it's there, unless they didn't mean to turn it off.
No, there was a note about it in beta 4 that it was going to possibly be turned off.
Oh, and yeah, I forgot about that.
I'm sure this was probably one of the last sticking points with like sealing the deal with the record labels. And they probably last minute had to cave, because it's like, well, it's supposed to launch tomorrow and we have not resolved this. And they just went, fine, we will disable home sharing to iOS devices. And it may just be that the labels haven't thought about, oh, Mac to Mac. You know, they were probably more concerned about mobile devices than anything else.
Yeah, but it wasn't like it was something where you could stream from your home computer to your iDevice wherever you were. You had to do it at home, and it just didn't. I mean, that's
right, but it's still a loss, because if the way you get paid is by the people streaming directly from,
yeah, but it's music you own.
No. I can add. I have Apple Music tracks now in my library.
I get that. Oh, you're saying but then you have Apple Music. It doesn't make any sense. I don't think you're arguing.
Okay, and now, but if I pull down the latest Taylor Swift album.
Yeah.
All right. And I have it in my library, and then everybody in my family can now stream that through home sharing directly from my Mac to their iOS device. Guess who doesn't get 0.6 cents every
but
time?
But only
that gets
on your
streamed.
Local network. I don't know that it makes any sense.
And multiply that by you know, millions of Macs, and it's a significant revenue.
But
loss.
Macs can still do it.
No. But Mac to iOS devices. I don't know. That's the. It would make sense to me. It makes sense to me. Maybe it doesn't logically make sense to you, but the money makes sense to me. Because they would argue, well, you could just, everybody has Apple Music. They could just, you know, put it on their own device themselves.
I think they just wanted to stop supporting it.
What's
they probably
the support?
Couldn't. Well, they couldn't fit it into the new interface. How would they fit it into the new interface?
Well,
they would have to redesign it. Maybe they forgot how to design.
They changed the interface in iTunes, I think, right?
No, it's still in the, no. It's totally the same way. The thing about the new interface,
the little house tab. I don't remember the little house tab being there before.
Well, it's there now. I mean, They changed it there was always a house tab. And you could twist a little triangle and look at the different computers. The thing about the new music app in iOS is the tab bar is no longer customizable. You can no longer click the ... and get more. Right. They've decided They've decided to eliminate that. So you can't even rearrange or what have you. So how would they fit that?
Playlists in your own library up to this weird tab at the top.
See, it's just so messed up. Apple, please give us a new interface.
No, they just did.
If you turn off Connect, you get playlists back where the Connect button was.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
You have to go into restrictions.
No, you can just turn off Connect.
How do you do that?
Oh, shoot. I'll find it for you. Found it yesterday.
I was told it's in restrictions. I mean, that's how I turn it
off. You can do it there, yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Johnny Ive being in charge of user interface design is bad. And I'm sticking to that until I see some change at Apple. It's bullshit. It's bullshit design, and I'm pissed about it.
How do you really feel, Michael?
I love it. I really enjoy his work. I do, though. I was marveling. I mean, for what it's worth, I was marveling at my MacBook Pro the other day at just like how wonderful all of the hardware devices that comes out of his studio. The hardware he makes is just fantastic. The software design is shit.
You're right, Michael. The other way to do it is just to completely turn off Apple Music, but a lot of people are not going to want to do that.
Oh, nice. Wait, you can do that. I wonder what it's like if you
can go
off.
Into music and yeah, turn
you
off
just
Apple
turn off
music.
Apple Music, and then it's just a boring music app.
It's the way it used to be. Yeah.
Oh, it's the way it used to be. That sounds nice. Sorry about the
without home sharing.
Oh, bummer. The thing I hate is, and I think we mentioned it, is the recently added thing up at the top. That you can't turn that off, and it means that you have to start scrolling down before you get the little alphabet on the side, and that just drives me nuts.
The other one that really irks me is your own custom radio stations that you built are totally destroyed. If you were using iTunes Radio before...
Oh, nice.
Forget that.
So you have to recreate them?
No, you have to go into radio and you have to click on, because this makes a lot of sense, recently played.
Yes, that's the only place they show up is recently
played. And then you'll find all of them. But then also any custom ones that you had made, like I had made one called Girls Rock Radio, which was all like female singer-songwriters. And the first artist that was put in there was Avril Lavigne, and it's now just called Avril Lavigne Radio.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That explains many of the names that I'm seeing now. Okay. Okay.
And now you can no longer, I cannot find any way, and if anybody discovers how to do this, please let me know. With the old iTunes Radio, you know how you can, and you still have the ability to say, yes, I want to add this artist or this person to this radio station, or I want to remove them one by one. But you used to be able to go in and edit the radio station, and you could see all of the artists that you said, yes, play more like this. And here's all the artists that I said never play this artist in this radio station. All of that customization is gone. There's no place to manage that anymore. So
I haven't been able to find any way to do it either.
Yeah. So while you can say, play more like this and it will tune that station, you have no idea. There's no way to recall or like see, okay, who did I put in this station and who did I say not to play in this station? It's just, it goes off into the ether and you just have to kind of quasi remember.
It feels more like Apple threw us a bone in a manner of speaking and gave us the ability to see stations we had previously made, but they're just kind of static now.
Yeah, well, they just fall under the new model, because now when you add a new station, the way you do it is you have to do it from, you know, like when you're playing that artist, you can say create a new station from this artist. So I think what it's falling under is each station is only tied. It's more of a Pandora style model where it's like, okay, this is this artist station or this genre station or this, you know, album station. And then you tweak it from there. But you can't, I don't see any way, I don't think you can build custom titles. The funny thing about it is that Avril Lavigne Radio, as Apple calls it now, when I actually play it, it still says, it still has my name on it when it's actually playing up in the little LCD
thing.
That's
funny.
So.
Yeah, well thought out. Good job.
But other than that, I mean, I'm really liking everything else in Apple Music. The radio thing, you know, my custom station radio thing kind of bothers me, but I'll adapt. I'll get used to the new way. It's just iTunes Radio had a short-lived life.
Too short.
He wasn't with us for very long, but while he was,
yeah,
he lived life to the fullest.
He enriched our lives as best he could.
Yeah. All right, so there are some leaked photos of the next generation iPhone 6S. And there
lots of leaked photos recently.
Yeah.
Component parts and, you know.
Yeah, so there really aren't that many differences. And this is all coming from 9to5 Mac. Pretty much no differences that you can really see. Just minor internal differences, really.
There was a leaked board image that surfaced today.
Oh, yeah?
That supposedly indicates there's an updated NFC chip.
Yes, updated NFC chip. It looks like the entry model may still be a 16 gigabyte.
God, please, no.
Although, I'm not getting that, but
well,
on the other hand, I do get it. Yeah.
Yeah, he defended it in the Gruber thing, in the Gruber interview, if you haven't heard that.
And what was the defense?
Just that people want a cheap option and they don't care about storage. So,
yeah, I guess it's true. And they've been building a, and their research is probably right.
Yeah,
they've built a lot
cloud,
of,
you know.
Yeah, the cloud stuff, and they've built a lot of functionality now in iOS 9 that utilizes less space.
Yep. But, I mean, I can't imagine. My thing is the cost difference to go to 32 for Apple, I can't imagine, is more than a buck or two.
But think about all those bucks.
Yeah, they add up.
Yeah, I guess.
I get it. It's true. I mean, you're talking about tens of millions, hundreds of millions of devices. So you're right. $100 million.
At that point, even pennies add up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you compare that to Apple's cash on hand and you go, come on, throw your user base a bone.
Yeah. Let's get some bones.
Let's just, you know, how about just goodwill? Like, hey, we like you guys. Here's extra storage. You rock.
Yeah. So there's, in addition to that, looks like there's going to be an updated LTE modem, which will double the potential download speed to 300 megabits per second.
That's awesome.
Of course, real world limitations will be in effect.
That's all right.
It's all right, but it's there.
I'll take 100 megabits.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, right.
That'll be about double what I have now. I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
Obviously, the carriers are going to have to support it too.
So. Exactly.
It doesn't really matter what's in the phone and what it's
theoretical.
Yeah, we
can see how fast AT&T jumps on top of all of these things.
They've been, you know, I've actually been pretty happy with them. I haven't done any speed tests in a while, but I'm pretty sure, you know, most places when I'm on LTE, I'm getting 50, 60.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just in general, AT&T really drags their heels. I mean, we still don't have voice over Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And I mean, look at all the things that Apple has added to the iPhone.
Do we have the high quality calling now?
The only company that does support that stuff is T-Mobile.
Yeah, it's all T-Mobile. They get on top of all this, and then everyone else is like, yes, we're planning on supporting this eventually. And then AT&T throws in the little side jab of, but we don't know why you'd want us to, because everything we have is already so fantastic.
Look,
yeah,
at our luxurious LTE.
Updated NFC hardware. I wonder if they're going to make any changes to the what is it called? The digital vault or the you know what I'm talking about? The little chip where you store your thumbprints.
The Enclave.
Yeah, the Enclave. They should increase the memory Enclave. Of the Enclave.
Why?
So we can put more fingers in there.
Yeah.
I want more than five. I'm currently I have two fingers listed as one right now.
How many fingers do you need to unlock your iPhone with?
Well, I like my thumb, index finger, and middle finger on both hands.
Six. Yeah, you're right. Just one more would be good, right? That'd
yeah.
be perfect. Six.
Yeah. I mean, 10 would be ideal because sometimes...
that's a bit excessive.
Sometimes I need a pinky to unlock sometimes.
I have never stuck my pinky on my home button to try and unlock my phone.
Well, neither have I, but I know that I don't need to, or that I can't, rather. Anyway, increase
the... Are you sure you just don't want another appendage?
I might. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, you want to be at parties and say, "Hey, look how I unlock my iPhone."
And then I like pull down. Never mind.
And everyone's like, "Oh, don't borrow Michael's phone."
Yeah.
Whole new meaning to hands-free.
Boy, howdy.
Okay. So, last thing I have on this list is the fact that the full-length trailer for the Steve Jobs movie came out.
Yeah, that looks good.
It looks really good.
It looks totally fictionalized, but good.
Is it totally fictionalized? It does look pretty fictionalized.
Yeah. I mean, Woz came out today and commented on the lines that were delivered, you know, about where he's... Well, I don't want to ruin the trailer, but if you go see the trailer, part of it is Woz saying some things to Steve Jobs, and Woz is like, I would never... Those are words that I never would say. And, you know, I've listened to him talk enough to know that he wouldn't talk like that.
Yeah.
He might think that, and I think he even comments that on that in the piece. It's like, yeah, you know, it was that sort of that way, some of those things. He doesn't agree with all the things that were written. And he recognizes that it's, you know, it needs to be fictionalized to make it exciting for people and stuff like that. And the overall tone and the gist of the movie looks like it's spot on, but, you know, the actual dialogue is, you know, hopefully people aren't going to walk away thinking that these were things that were actually said by people. Because
yeah.
Well, some people will think that, but the big thing is to get the ideas and the emotions across.
Yep.
And to do that, you have to create dialogue.
Well, that, and still entertain people, right? You have to have some conflict. You have to have some emotion. You have to have, you know, so...
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the movie, and I couldn't get through the book. I lost interest in Walter Isaacson's book. I got like maybe a third of the way through.
Did you hear how it's laid out?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Spoilers. So if people don't want to know this stuff, they might want to tune out. But I think it's interesting.
Yeah, let us know. What is it?
Do you want me to cover it? You want to do it, Jeff?
No, go ahead.
Apparently what's going to happen is it's like single, I don't know if it's continuous shots. It sounds like it's almost continuous 45 minute segments with the lead up to three major announcements. And it's the 84 introduction of, and it's all backstage stuff, behind the scenes stuff leading up to the keynote for the announcement of the Mac in 84. The Next in 88, is that right? And then the iMac. And so each segment, I guess, apparently ends with Steve walking out on stage to, you know, crowds cheering. But everything before that is 45 minutes, straight 45 minutes, just straight through about what's sort of going on backstage. And it's all built up from there.
Huh.
Yeah, I thought that was a very interesting way to do this, and has the potential to be really exciting, because you have all the tension building up to this known moment when Steve has to walk on stage. Now, I was surprised they didn't do the vignettes a little bit shorter and then add in the iPhone launch too.
Yeah. I have this
feeling that it sounds like it might even be, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if the way it's put together is almost just continuous shots where the camera's following around from different people walking around backstage interacting, where it's just like straight 45 minutes, one thing
to
the next.
Which would be really interesting, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Kate Winslet commented that there were a lot of very long cuts.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. I like the idea of long cuts. So much of what we see anymore is like micro shots where you get a few seconds, a few seconds, a few seconds. Right. I like the idea of playing this out and getting to see something that's really building up over time.
Well, it makes you feel like you're actually there walking around backstage, sort of eavesdropping on all these little things that are happening, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I'm super excited about the movie. I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah. When's it come out?
I'm with you.
October 8th. 9th.
October 9th. 9th, yep.
Which is pretty close to the anniversary of Steve's death, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Maybe.
trying to remember when he passed.
And it's also
October 5th. Yeah, October 5th.
Huh. And it's very close to
the same week.
Yeah. I wonder how much influence that had on the date.
I thought it was significant, but maybe not. I don't know.
There's also, I think, like a week before that, exactly, October 2nd, is The Martian comes out, too.
I'm really excited to see The Martian.
October 9th is the release date of the movie.
Yeah. Yep, yep. So. Okay, let's do some picks. Jeff, you want to go first?
Sure. All right, my pick this week isn't a sexy, super exciting app, but it's turned out to be something that's really handy for me. And it's called Park Mobile. And I believe it's all one word. And I've been using this in Boulder, but it's available in a lot of other cities too. So a lot of parking meters that you have in cities, instead of having to put coins in, you can use Park Mobile. And so it links to your credit card, and then all you have to do is in the number that's on the sign for the pay kiosk for the parking, and then you set how long you want to stay. It starts a timer for you, and then it gives you alerts when it's time to go move your car or when it's time to add more money. And it's just like crazy convenient, really easy to use, and just beats having to carry a bunch of quarters around to drop into pay kiosks.
Nice.
Yeah. And like I said, it's available in a lot of cities. I was surprised how many cities you can use this in. So I put in my car, put in my girlfriend's car, and now I'm set. It's all the cars I need to keep track of. They're right there. And I just type in a number for a kiosk, hit pay, and a countdown timer starts. It sends out push notifications, which you'll see on my watch or on my iPhone. And there you go. So not super exciting, but surprisingly useful.
Cool. Yeah, too bad that's not in slow. But it looks nice.
I'm surprised it isn't.
Yeah, it looks like it's in a lot of places.
Yeah, and they're adding more cities all the time.
Nice. Yeah, it'd be cool if there was Apple Pay at the meters.
That would be cool, too.
Yeah. Okay, Adam, what's your pick?
I'm going to do another really sort of simple yet handy app, especially if you get into messing around with. I have an Arduino,
mm-hmm.
and so I'll be breadboarding out stuff, you know, like doing electronics and components and stuff like that. And often when you're doing that, a thing that you have to deal with is resistors. And if you don't know about resistors, they have to tell what kind of resistor that you need or have. So if I'm reading about a project and it's like, you need this many ohms of resistance, it's determined by the little bands that are on the little resistors themselves.
Right.
And so you often need a little resistor like calculator or a thing to, you know, where you can plug in and say, okay, I know this has a red band and a black band and a red band and then a gold band on the end. And so what is that resistor? You know, how many ohms of resistance am I getting? So I have a little app for that.
Oh, cool.
Called LEDulator. And I want to say it was free. I can't remember. I think it was free. Got it a long time ago, but it's really simple. It just shows you, you know, the little bands and you tap on them and it gives you all the different colors. You tap on the color for each band and put them in the right order. And then it tells you, you know, what the resistance on that resistor is. That's it. It's straightforward and just really handy. So if you're doing any electronics really cool. projects and you need to figure out your resistors, LEDulator from Tap and Fun.
Tap and Fun? Are you
tap
sure it's
and,
not?
Tap and Fun.
Ionanis Curve.
Yeah. Tapandfun.com is his website. That's the same developer.
Gotcha. Cool. And it's free.
It is free.
Okay, so my pick this week is, I'm going to say my favorite pair of Bluetooth earbuds that are out there?
Jaybirds?
Jaybirds.
I like the Jaybirds.
They're the Blue Buds X, and I did talk about the Plantronics maybe a month or two ago.
Oh, I thought you'd pick Jaybirds, you know, years ago. We've been doing this thing for, you've had Jaybirds for a long time. Like, you've used those in various forms, right?
Yes, I've had quite a few Jaybird headphones. So I had the SB1, the sports band, that is headphones, wireless headphones. So it goes over your ears. Those are wonderful. If you could find the knockoffs of those are pretty nice. But like the Plantronics, the Blue Buds X have newer firmware that makes them so much nicer. So you get things like synced volume. So the volume, it's just one volume. On older pairs of earbuds or headphones, you would have the sort of line out volume on your phone that you would control from your phone or whatever device. And then you'd have the volume of the output of the earbuds themselves on the earbuds. And so I forget how I did it, but I did it in a certain way where one was at full volume and the other was not, because when the earbuds got low on battery, I would get this tone in my ear. And if the volume was cranked up all the way on the earbuds, then it would be extremely loud. So it was not a good experience. So the Plantronics and the Jaybirds, they have the synced audio volume, which is great. They have battery life displays that show up in the status bar. And I believe that it may even show up. I'm almost positive it shows up in the new iOS 9 notification center widget that shows you battery life, which is pretty nice. They both have controls on the actual cord. So just like the EarPods, it's right there, very accessible, very easy to press. That was one thing I didn't like about the old Jaybirds. These Jaybirds have that. And the battery life really is the thing that makes the Jaybirds better than the Plantronics. So Plantronics are about 5 hours. The Blue Buds X get about 8 hours, and it makes all the difference. And they sound slightly better. There's a definite difference, but I would say there's a slightly fuller sound, and they stay in your ear much better. So if you're a runner or you work out with headphones, I would recommend the Blue Buds X. So they're $137 on Amazon, about $137. I think they may be $150 MSRP. And I would not really recommend going to like Beats or anything like that. $150 is like tops of what you should pay. You're going to get the same quality. So I would recommend the Blue Buds X if you're going to look for the best wireless earbuds. And if you want something that's a little cheaper, like I said, Plantronics is good too for about $80. But
I like the Blue Buds X. I'm with you on that.
The ones you lost?
The ones I lost. Yes.
Yeah, you should buy another pair.
Mm-hmm. I know I should.
Yeah, and of course the using them for phone calls is very nice too. And because the microphone is on the with the controls on the cord, I think that I have not gotten any complaints.
That's good. Yeah, that's better.
And I did get complaints about the headphones, the sport band headphones, because it was kind of
because the mic's microphone on the headphones, right?
Yeah, the mic is basically on my earlobe.
Yeah, that's how pair of my headphones that I picked last week, the wireless Bluetooth ones from.
Oh,
on
yeah,
a price
yeah.
That are the Beats knockoffs.
Right, yeah. And I forgot also, there are a couple of nice things with the Blue Buds as well. And like I said, I think it's the same firmware as the Plantronics, because you get voice feedback. It used to be that you only get beeps, and the beeps are pretty much the same beeps, and you have to look at the LED light to really understand what's going on. So these will also speak to you. It'll say, like, power on, power off, pairing, connection switched. That's another good thing is it has quick changing between devices. So you can, so if you're listening on your phone and then you want to switch over to your iPad, you just go into settings and tap on it and then it switches.
Oh, you have Jenna. You like Jenna, huh?
She's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, no. So I don't actually currently have the Bluebuds X. I tried them for a while. And now I've pretty well decided that I'm going to buy them because as much as I like the Plantronics, I'm doing more running and they don't, I mean, they stay in fine. Too. Yeah, they have LiquiPel and better battery life is really the big thing for me. So
awesome.
And they do have really good battery life. It makes a huge difference.
They have really solid battery life and they're tiny. It's not like you're adding a lot of heft or anything. It's surprising how much battery life and performance you get out of these things. So I like them. Of course, our picks and the show notes are at theiosshow.com. You can review the show on iTunes, tell a friend about it, and you can email us at feedback@theiosshow.com. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com, and Adam Christensen. He's at the MacCast, MacCast.com, at MacCast on Twitter.
Yes, sir.
And I wanted to ask, I want you to come up and check out JPL. And I was going to float it out there. If anybody else is in the like greater LA area, hit me up and I might bring a couple buddies along to check out JPL.
Nice.
Cool.
So it could be like with Adam and me kind of thing. We could check out JPL.
Cool. Yeah, we'll set it up.
Yeah, so
we'll do it.
Send an email or Twitter or whatever. And Jeff, your contact information was deleted from this file because you weren't here last week. So I don't know.
I forgot to read it.
He's at MacObserver, MacObserver.com. Also JGamut on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yep. And Fresh Brewed Tales.
Fresh Brewed Tales. What about the other thing you do?
The podcasting thing. Yeah. There's TMO Daily Observations, Apple Context Machine, The Big Show, The iOS Show, and other stuff too.
Wait, you're on The iOS Show?
Occasionally.
when you're not off in a mountain.
When I'm not off on a mountain, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. I'm on Appler, getappler.com/Michael. And yeah, with that, we'll see you next time on The iOS Show. An iPod. An iPod.
Internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Who wants a stylus? Stylus, 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 stylus. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, yuck.